had 8 tracks. Google that. It'll say ancient history somewhere under there. Wow. Man, that was uplifting to me. I was hearing them practice when I was up in my office earlier, and I told Rachel, I said, when I came down, Carrie Shirky was singing. When I looked out my window, Tasha, you know who was singing that song, and then she told me we're all singing that song, and I thought, that's going to be a long song. And it was not long enough the way it turned out. Wow, wow, wow. Well, all right. We have dissected Christmas this year in different ways, I think, than probably most years we ever have. So this morning, I'm going to direct you to Galatians chapter 4. BJ, I might have messed you up there a little bit. We're only doing 2 verses there, not 3, so let's be all right. You got them there, I know. Galatians chapter 4. This is not a traditional Christmas text, but it's such a perfect text, and I'm going to try real hard not to go off and preach somewhere that I don't need to go, but it's really hard when I preach from this text because this is not normally a Christmas text. And I pray that you bear with my voice. I know I'm sounding a little nasal. I probably sound like that all the time, but today it's worse. I hear it myself, and it's sort of offensive even to me, so thank you. But when the fullness of time had come, that line right there is so important. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now, that's every one of those commas, if you just took out each section, you could preach an entire sermon from that passage, multiples. But when the fullness of time had come, you can memorize this, in fact. This is a great passage. When the fullness of time had come, if you have a newer version, it might say something like, at just the right time. And that's really what it means. At just the right time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. We touched on that last night. The birth is so important to our theology. Virgin birth in particular. Born under the law. Makes me laugh when people talk about Christianity not corresponding with Jewish people. Jesus was Jewish. So, I don't know where they get that. Born under the law to redeem those who were under the law. I told you when we were singing that song, Redeemer again. That we might receive the adoption of sons. So good, so powerful. Let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to launch into this. Father God, we say Father this morning. We say Abba, Father, Daddy, because we are adopted into your household. And Lord, if we are sons, then we are heirs. And if heirs, then joint heirs with Christ. That everything he receives in the fullness of the glory, we too will receive in fullness. What a gift. Unbelievable, indescribable gift you have blessed us with today. And it is so overlooked, so discarded, as though it were wrapping paper and torn boxes. Lord, many, many stores, we were in some just this week. Christmas decorations were already going down. Christmas to them was over, and it had not even arrived. I wonder what those today is all about. Lord, we're in this room, so we're going to think about it for just a few moments, and I pray that you will bless us as we do. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, would you speak to hearts today? I ask you to do it in Jesus' name, and that he would be glorified in this place. We thank you for the songs we've sung. Some of them are ancient, Lord, written hundreds of years ago. Some are modern, and they uplift all the story of the birth of Jesus. really as this verse does from the book of Galatians, 1900 years old. Speak to our hearts today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned, just alluded to, our Bible study on Wednesday night. I cannot begin to tell you how much I love to study the Bible. I mean, I love to ingest it as though it were meat and as though it were drink. I can enjoy a snack in the afternoon of being in that Word as much as I can enjoy eating. And obviously, you realize I do some of both, obviously, but I'm telling you, this Word is something else. This passage in particular is something else that the Holy Spirit prompted Paul to write these words. Galatians is a miniature of the book of Romans. You will find a lot of things. So if you go to Romans chapter 8, it says, whereby we receive the adoptions that we might cry out, Abba, Father. So you have the paragraphs from a much shorter condensed version in the book of Galatians, but it is full of theology. If you've never read the Bible, not to be, you know, to say, I'm going to read the Bible in a year. Good thing to do. But don't just read your verses and say, I'm done. Pick you a book, especially a small book like Galatians, and begin to just feed on it. And it is so good. It is so good. All right, done with that commercial. That was a Bible commercial. It's like, infomercials on TV, they're kind of the wise men. Here they are. Just for this weekend only, special event, gold. Call now. Now, frankincense, we have frankincense, but wait, there's myrrh. Who told me that last night? Somebody. See, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Merry Christmas, everyone. Y'all didn't expect that, did you? You were not looking for that. What's he doing? All right, we're back to the sermon. I just deviated a moment, coming right back. How many of you have already had Christmas? How many of you already unwrapped your presents? How many of you did it this morning? Some last night, some this morning. Some of you, I want to say children, but I'm going to tell you right now, there are some adults in this room who can't wait to get home. You got something so neat that you cannot wait to get home. You are excited about a gift you receive for Christmas. And shouldn't it be? The person who gave you that gift certainly hopes that you're excited about it. If Christmas was mundane, and I'm going to tell y'all, I'm kind of a, I don't know why, I can't take these shoes off, but I like socks. I cannot tell you why, but I like socks. And I like, in particular, gold toe brand socks. I don't know why. I like them with crazy designs. I like them like the ones I'm wearing right now that are an in-between crew sock. They're so thick that they feel padded under my feet. I'm back to the infomercial. My daughter said, what do you want for Christmas? And I said, socks. And that's what she bought me. And I mean a bucket load of them. I mean a bag full of them. And I had kind of gone through my stuff, and I've been throwing away socks for 2 weeks. Man, every sock I had that had a hole in the heel, choo, to the garbage. I said, Court's going to come through. Court's going to give me socks. I've been throwing away socks. And I'm realizing I didn't get any socks. And I looked, and there was a red bag sitting on the buffet where I'd been putting stuff. And I said, I don't remember looking in there. And I just walked over and put a piece of tissue paper, and what do my wondering eyes should appear? But 12 dozen socks with gold toes. That couldn't make that rhyme, sorry. I said, Court, I thought you forgot my socks. She said, I thought you forgot to open your present. So can I tell you? You may not get excited about socks, especially if you're like 9 years old. You go, socks, boom. But I was excited over socks. So I'm telling you, get excited over whatever your Christmas is, because I love socks. I like them. That's not a commercial. I got like literally 10 dozen. Don't go out and buy. I'm not doing that to say go buy me socks. I'm not doing that. I'm telling you, I want you to be excited about your Christmas. Don't overlook the little things that some people may not like, other people may really like. Other people may really like it. Some of you right now, you're thinking about a present right now just because of what I just did. You can't wait to get home and continue the enjoyment of Christmas Day. That's what it's all about, is it not? We say I love you by thoughtfully choosing a gift that we give to someone we care about. So, thinking about Christmas, thinking about gifts, and having dissected the wise men last night, not doing that today, let me share about Christmas gifts. Here's a thought. Someone has to deliver the gift. Someone has to deliver the gift. Now, not every gift comes in the mail or UPS or FedEx, but is that not, I can't really see real good, but how many of you this year ordered at least one present? Raise your hands. That's what I thought. A lot of hands are up. I'm not going to say 50%. But more and more and more people are finding out that you go online, you do this a few times, and it comes to your house. Set up a camera and watch somebody steal it. It's really a fun, it just kind of completes the whole process. That really hurts my feelings when people do that. Not every gift comes in the mail, so when I say deliver the gift, I don't mean that. And I don't mean the gifts that children find under the tree that have been delivered during the night. That, you know, that's the big thing of running out on Christmas morning and there's gifts sitting there that have been delivered during the night. But I chose that word deliver because that's what we also call when a woman gives birth to a baby. We call that the delivery. And the greatest gift that's ever been given was given on Christmas morning, and it was delivered by a woman named Mary. We know her story. We know a lot for not knowing very much. We know quite a bit about this woman. She was a really devout Jewish young girl, not older. God saw something in her that when he looked through all of Israel, he saw something in Mary that he said, this is going to be the mother of my son. And he chose her, and the angel, when he appeared to her, said, Hail Mary, highly favored of God. Wow. She wondered, what kind of greeting is that? What does he mean? And the angel explained to her exactly what the plan was, and she said, Let it be to me as you have said. She was obedient. She was faithful. She believed God. And at that time, this is the silent years. This is still during the silent time when they weren't really hearing from God. They were going through the motions of church. Her relative, Elizabeth's husband was a priest. And he went and did work at the temple. And they weren't even hearing from God then. God had been silent, and the doors to heaven had been closed, and the heavens, as we used to say a long time ago, were as brass. And even though they prayed, it went nowhere. It wasn't even going out of the ceiling. To make Israel hungry again, because they had a great history, but they had no present. You with me? They had no present. And so Jesus came present for Israel. Wow, there's so many things you can do right there. It's just crazy. Yep, I hear it going up and down, brother. I apologize. Some people are happy, working good. Boy, I don't know if I can turn. Yeah, I can. It's the white. Yep. All right. Try to let him get adjusted. Okay, I'm going to start over so we get a good recording. You know, I watched this morning, in fact, as children and sometimes adults tear into their presents. I was guilty this morning. I threw away a gift card because I didn't recognize that it wasn't just the label that had the name on it. And I was just trying to pick up behind those boys. They were tearing, I was throwing. And so I threw away a gift card, and I realized that when I saw another one, I said, ooh. And they dug down, and sure enough, I had thrown away a gift card. That was not good on my part. You see, think about this now. Take a moment to appreciate the box. Take a moment to appreciate that someone chose the paper, not everyone. Some of you, you bought the biggest roll you could find in every gift's in the same paper. That's okay. But sometimes people choose the actual paper that's going to be on that person's gift, and they wrap it. And my wife's pretty big on these little things you hang on it. So when my son came in, he said, "I bet that's my present." And I said, "Why do you think that?" He said, "It's got antlers on the tag." And I said, "Yep, you're right. That's your present." So he walked over, and she had put antlers, taped them up in the corner, and then put his name. All that time and effort, all that planning, all that choosing, all that hiding sometimes, because I also heard a rumor, I don't think he's here. A lot of people sick at my house. I was, but I came to church, you know. But we came in the other day, and our kids were there, and my daughter said, "Jeremy's been downstairs in the basement hunting his presents." He's 30-something years old, guys. Y'all got any of those at your house? He's still, people are looking. I see them looking around at one another. You guilty of that? He wants to know ahead of time. Inquiring minds want to know. So he got narked on because he'd been in the basement looking. But we're pretty good at hiding after all these years. That's part of the plan. That's part of the preparations. That's all a part of Christmas morning, is trying to make it wait until then. My grandson, all of y'all have these same things. He comes out from behind the chair the other day where the presents were stacked, and we said, "Case, what have you been doing?" He said, I found this bow on the floor. Yeah, buddy, what was it on? See, he had been trying to see what all the presents were. He didn't care whose they were. Oh, isn't it great? Christmas is great, isn't it? And then all that preparation, all that planning, all that thinking, all that stuff, and it becomes garbage in a millisecond. Wow, wow. See, as pretty as that box is, and as much thought as has gone into that wrapping, trying to make the ends fit, if you're like me, if I wrap a present, I don't wrap many presents. I want those ends to be kind of perfect. Anybody else with me on that? Thank you. That's the way you do it. Oh, yeah, I know Deb McDaniel does. I know Deb does. I want those ends to come up and to make little triangles. I want it to look good if I do the wrapping. But the people who unwrap it could care less, because guess what? That's not the present. The present's in there. I mean, could you imagine getting a box and just setting it up and going, wow, and just keeping the box? No, you want what's in the box. That's how that works. Look again at this passage. When the fullness of time was come. Can I tell you, God worked and planned and prepared and hid and did all the things he did to bring Jesus Christ into the world on the right day. And I mean, I'm not going to say down to the particular day, but for sure the particular year. And I'm not going to preach this, but I'm going to tell you, if you like to study, the year Jesus was born determined the year he would die, because that was all planned. That was all in the plan. And so Jesus was born at just the right time so that he would also die at just the right time. Wow. That's hard for us to imagine. So someone had to deliver the gift. The Holy Spirit, through the angels' words and God's plan, delivered to Mary the ability to have a child without having known a man. And if you have about a 9 or 10 year old little girl in here, they're going to say, "Mommy, how did that work?" You go ahead and tell them. Don't call me. And then the world received the present. The world received the present, and it was the greatest gift of any Christmas ever. Now, number two is very interesting too. Someone has to pay for the gift. Verse 5 begins with these words, "to redeem those who were under the law." Now, we were not under the law as Gentiles. We are not under the law in the same sense as being Jewish. And yet, when God gave the law to Moses, his intention was that the Jews would evangelize the whole world and take God's law to the whole world. So by virtue of extension, we are under the law in the sense that the Jews somewhat failed in their mission. They became inverted and exclusive instead of inclusive. And even after Jesus came and explained to the Jews his plan, even after his death and resurrection and his ascension into heaven, the Jews did not fully understand. And so when people were hearing the preaching of the gospel and wanting to choose faith in Christ, the Jews were telling them, well, you have to convert to Judaism. You have to become Jewish in your religion so that you can have Christ as your religion. And finally, somebody said that, and not until like the 15th chapter of Acts, finally somebody says, guys, you're putting a yoke onto these people that our fathers couldn't handle. Our fathers could not be good Jews. They couldn't keep the law. Why are you telling these Gentiles they've got to do it? And so they had to work that out. If you were going to go to heaven by keeping the law, how many people do you think would make it? None. That's why Jesus came, to redeem those who were under the law, because they could not keep the law, would not keep the law, did not keep the law. Whatever you want to put there, the reality was the world needed a Savior. We needed a Redeemer. Now, we say redeem, and I don't know what pops into your mind. I've got a great big dictionary up in my office because sometimes I just like to look up the meaning of words, and many times it will say biblically, and it'll give you a definition, because a lot of times words are from the Bible that are English in translation, and so it tries to help us with that. I'm going to give you two because, like the song we sang that had 80 verses, the word redeem has 8 different meanings. I'm going to give you two because I find them pretty interesting. The first one is to recover ownership by paying a specified sum. To recover ownership. To recover ownership indicates that at one time you had been the owner of something. And I would tell you this morning that when Adam and Eve were created in the garden, perfect, we call that Adamic perfection, Adam and Eve were created perfect and fell into sin. And so God had owned mankind in a sinless state in relation to him. And it was good. And in order for that to ever be achieved again, God was the one who had to pay a specified sum. And the crazy thing was, he had set the rules himself, not the devil. The devil didn't place the demand on God for a blood sacrifice. God had placed the demand on God. He wanted to set the price so high that perhaps man would think through his decisions. But once man fell into sin, those decisions quickly went out the window. Men thought they were free. Men thought in sin they were free to do as they wish. But guess what another definition of redeem is? To set free, to rescue, or ransom. To set free, to rescue, or to ransom. You see, people who are in sin think they're free to do as they wish, and in all reality, they are because of free moral agency, but you'll never make heaven that way. You'll never make heaven unless you're really set free, and if you go on reading Galatians, you're going to find that in, I believe, chapter 6, where Paul's going to say, don't use your liberty as a cloak to continue in sin. You realize liberty, meaning freedom in Christ, he says, don't use that as a garment to hide your sin. You're free to not sin. That's good news right there. In fact, we call that good news. So, God, through Mary, delivered the gift. Jesus, as the gift and as the Redeemer, paid a price no one else could pay because Jesus was God. And the demand for a blood sacrifice was so high that only God could meet the demand. And so he literally came in the flesh and paid that price. Jesus was God incarnate. That's pretty theological on Christmas morning. So the gift was brought into the world at just the right time to save the world. Now, number three, and probably for us this morning the most important, someone has to receive the gift. This is very important. When I say receive the gift, I literally mean open the gift. Remember we talked about the pretty presents and how foolish it would be to just set a present up on a shelf and look at the wrapping and the name tag and just adore the gift or the box. I've only told this story no more than 20 times. Gene Phillips used to be our district superintendent. And he tells of going by a lady's house and visiting just before Christmas, and the lady has a wrapped package and says, "Brother Gene, I'm going to go ahead and give you your Christmas present. Go ahead and open it." And he said, "Oh, I will. I'll wait till I'm home, and my wife and I will open it together." Well, on the way, he said, "You know, it's a Christmas gift. I'm going to wait and open it Christmas morning." A few days went by, and he had put it under the tree, and his wife said, "Gene, do you smell something?" And he said, "What?" She said, "There's something rotten in this house." They got to probing and sniffing, and finally sniffed down, and he picked up that package, and it was soggy and wet and dripping red. And he opened it, and it was steaks that she had given him, frozen steaks. And she said, "Open the gift." And guess what? Because he didn't open the gift, he didn't get the gift. That illustration makes the illustration I'm making right now. The fact that Jesus came and died, you say, "Well, the gift's already been given." It has. Potentially, the gift of the blood of Jesus is already saved. But if all you're going to do is look at the pretty box, eventually you'll see the red dripping out of it, but it will be ruined because you did not open the gift. Wow. That should be amen and go home, all right? Everybody got that right there? That's praise God right there. Wow. Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Your salvation is a gift from God. You cannot earn it. You cannot buy it. Someone has to pay the price, but it cannot be you. You don't have enough. You cannot work it or buy it. You cannot inherit it. It only comes through receiving, opening the gift that is Jesus. And then I kind of messed with this one a while ago, 2 Corinthians 9:15. "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Some of you this morning opened a present, it wowed you, it bugged your eyes out, and you said, "Wow, I did not think in a million years I would have gotten this today." And you got what to you might have been an indescribable gift. But there's one far better. On this Christmas day, do not let your gift go unopened. Receive and open the gift of God that is indescribable. It has your name on it. It has your name on it, and no one else can open it for you. If we could open other people's presents, everybody would get saved because everybody would have somebody who would want to open that gift for that person. We pray for unsaved people, and as far as that being a good prayer, it is, but even God will not make you open that present, and he knows that if it goes unopened, it will spoil, and the loss will be far greater than anything you could imagine. When you stand before Jesus, following the last trump and the shout of the archangel, and judgment day comes, every single person on the face of the earth. There will be gifts there with their name on it, figuratively. And Jesus will say, I died for you. I came to earth, the greatest gift ever given. I went to the cross and suffered an unbelievable death so that you could live. And the gift was there with your name on it, and you never opened the gift. And the blood dripped out, and the present spoiled. And it would have been so wonderful, but you would not. You remember when Jesus wept? You remember, now there's two times. I just realized when I said that. He wept at the death of Lazarus, but he wept another time. He was on the Mount of Olives, and when you reach the crest of the hill on the Mount of Olives, you're looking down at the Kidron Valley, and then you're looking over at the old city of Jerusalem. It wasn't old. Well, it was still old then, but it wasn't as old. But you saw the eastern gates, and Jesus stopped and looked at that city, and he began to weep. And he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you like a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. And I believe that on our judgment day, Jesus is going to weep, looking at people that he has loved their entire lifetime, and say, so often I spoke to you, maybe sitting in this building, maybe somewhere else around the world, and I urged you to come. But you were not willing. You would not come and open the gift that I had just for you. Isn't that a sad thought? Wow. Wow. See, the price is paid. The gift is delivered. Let's don't let it go unopened. You are the only one who can open your gift. The greatest gift you could ever receive this morning is not under a tree at grandma's house or your home. It's in the hands of Jesus Christ, and he holds it out to you. And he says, receive the gift that I have for you. Would you stand this morning? Let me one more time tell you Merry Christmas. I hope the rest of your day, and in fact this next week, is so blessed. But I also hope that in all the tinsel and wrappings and trappings and all the things, many of us are on our way to eat a big Christmas dinner. Don't overlook the greatest gift. Open it, in fact. Receive it unto yourself, the gift of Jesus. Father, would you go with us this morning? Lord, we have come on this day to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, the one who paid the price, the one sent from heaven to earth, that, Lord, there was a debt hanging over us that was too large for us to pay. We could not pay the debt of sin. You came. You owed no debt at all. And you took our debt upon you, carried it to the cross, nailed it there, and died, shedding your blood for us. What a gift. What a gift. Father, bless everyone that hears my voice right now. And if there's someone in this room that does not know today beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ has forgiven them of their sins and that they are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Lord, do not let this day come tonight without the Holy Spirit pricking their heart several times to remember something they've heard today. Father, save people to the glory of God. Build your kingdom on Christmas Day. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday morning.